Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Folks, hey, don't forget, we like to hear your input. Don't forget that Monday Night Talk does have a Facebook page. Feel free to go over to the Facebook page. Ideas for future shows, future guests, things that you want to hear, conversations you want to hear us kind of talk about. Maybe you might want to hear, you want to have more of a listener call-in type of a segment. Give us your thoughts on the Monday Night Talk Facebook page. Also, a quick thank you to our sponsors who make this program possible. McGuigan's Pub, Tiny and Sons, East Coast Printing, Fidelis, as well as the Life Care Center of the South Shore. Joining us right now for our first guest, the State House Report, is none other than State Representative Jim Cantwell. Sir, welcome.
Kevin, thanks for having me again.
You did a nice job navigating Route 139.
Yes, that we did. You know, and there, we still have exciting things coming forward that this project will be done this August at the latest.
Okay.
I saw one of your notes here was saying, you know, what were some of the delays?
Yeah, what has caused some of the delays, and when do we think that we'll have this all completed?
The first part, when will it be completed? It'll be completed by this August. Anyone driving in there right now, you would have seen me weaving in and out. Our joke from before was saying that if the Olympics ever came to Boston, as Mayor Menino and others wanted,
slalom.
We would have slalom. We would have the advantage. But so that people know, this project already has brought a number of businesses that said they would not have come but for the fact that we had the state do this infrastructure. We moved this project ahead by a minimum of 5 years just by moving it up on what's called the Transportation Improvement Project List. Very proud that we got it started. We all were frustrated that it was going gangbusters and then got months of delays that were due to a lot of infrastructure issues. The utilities, there is nothing that gives an incentive to them to move poles or to move gas lines. I will tell you, the Columbia Gas, they were champs working with us. It was almost a mile of additional pipe, some $300,000 we required that should be done after we started work, saying that their pipe would be too close to the new roadway. And they've done that, and not only did they do that, but they moved a new center right up the street from us here, so we have some new commerce. For NSTAR and for Verizon and the others, it took a lot of hard work to finally get the poles moved. So anyone driving there now, look about you. You're going to see the work that's being finished now on either your left and your right. We're going to see the sidewalks that are done. People already see the lights that are done there, Kevin, so those lights will be fully functional at the latest by this August. I'm just thrilled to finally see the project completed, and knowing that the South Shore Chamber of Commerce says when we, as a result of this project, we have a lot of changes here for Enterprise Park, they're estimating we'll have 900 new permanent jobs as a result of this kind of infrastructure work. So we're very excited.
What happens to the original Enterprise Drive? Does that go away, or will that still stay open when they open up the new little roadway where the lights are?
The part of the deal, there's a swap there, so the Verrocki family that owns property in this area, that will become theirs. You'll see that will be developed in some capacity. Mm. And now we have a new area where Enterprise Park lines up directly across from the apartments where the lights will be. And we're working very closely with our business folks to make sure that the final lines that get drawn will be done in a manner that will help people get in and out of each of their businesses there.
Yeah, they're still going to have to do a final paving, isn't
that correct? That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
Joe, do you have a question about Route 139?
No, I just know that much like Representative Cantwell here, we use it every day, and it's something that I'm looking forward to, as well as you should be too, Kevin, because it'll allow you to get a light to get into this place.
Well, get in and out of Enterprise Drive. The other thing is that I don't have to worry about people who don't know how to merge when it comes time going from two lanes down to one, because that is one thing that a lot of folks aren't good at, is learning how to merge, and folks want to try to, you know, cut you off. And
yeah. Well, as Jim can attest to, you know, when the fair comes to Marshfield, which, while it's only 2 weeks out of the summer, it feels like it's the longest time of the year, when the traffic backs from that merge that you're talking about, Kevin, all the way up to and past Route 3, well over a mile in some cases, just to Route 139 where the expansion is going, and then all the way down into where the Roach Brothers is, and this is going to help alleviate a lot of that summer, seasonal, and fair traffic. So I'm looking forward to it.
And a final point, by the way, one thing that we were not aware of is just by changing the traffic flow, for having four lanes now and having the light, Bill Lass and others will tell you that people now looking to have business in here in Enterprise Park, it's changed the whole game. No longer is it just going to be warehouses. You know, for a long time, they said it was very difficult to market this area because it was hard to get in and out of Enterprise Drive. But now we're getting some real serious attention by some great commerce. So I'm very, very excited. Have this done this August, and then we're going to see this place flourish even more.
Now, you and I had a little bit of a conversation before you came on here, probably about 20, 25 minutes ago, kind of going over some of our conversation. And one of them, which is not part of your notes, but you had brought me up to speed about, was a recent trip that you had a chance to talk about flood insurance. Kind of fill in the gaps as far as where did you recently travel to kind of talk about the situation that has been kind of a hotbed of activity here on the South Shore.
Yeah, and Joe and I just were talking about this off air as well. There just was a national conference that was in New York City with a group called the National Institute for Coastal and Harbor Infrastructure, where they had representatives from throughout the country come and talk about issues relating to climate change, relating to storm surges that we can be seeing, and mostly regarding old infrastructure and how we need a national commitment to have funding for infrastructure all up and down our coast. Some really shocking information. We had representatives of the Department of Defense who said some of the climate change things that they are seeing around the world are creating some concerns for them about some conflicts that they see could be happening with food changes, with water changes and the like that are taking place. They said back here close to home, down in Virginia, where their largest base is, they have at the same time the land where the base is sinking at the same time.
Subsidence.
Yes. So it was really from a Department of Defense issue where they're saying we need some major investment right now, along the lines of what President Eisenhower did back in the 50s when he looked at a national security issue and said we needed to invest in our interstate highway system. We need a national focus right now to be investing in infrastructure. And one of the things Joe and I have been working on with many others is I spoke at this forum and talked about how we can't be doing this on the backs of homeowners. What was nice is unanimous agreement there that those flood insurance changes that were done were a disaster nationally. So it was very exciting that some of the leading speakers were from the Netherlands talking what they've done. Kevin, their joke is they said, listen, don't listen to people when they say you have to retreat, because they said we can't retreat in the Netherlands. If we retreat, we go into Germany. So they've come up with some terrific ways of really
protecting. Is that even possible?
Well, it's so funny you mentioned this tonight, Jim, because I just had a discussion with somebody who got married over in Denmark or over in the Netherlands, where this is a major issue. And we were talking about this exact thing. And he said over there they have perfected the art of coastal infrastructure, because it's without it, their livelihood is gone.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. And those are the things that we'll keep sharing notes about it. I know there's a forum this Thursday there's a forum that's going to be here in Marshfield. Yeah. This Thursday night at the Furnace Brook School at 7:00 by a group in Marshfield that they asked me to come to speak.
Sure.
So I'm sure we probably both will be there.
Yes,
anyone who's
we'll
listening,
be there as well.
Because it's talking, the headline is Where'd Our Beach Go? And it's the Marshfield Coastal
Advisory Board. Yeah.
7:00 at the Furnace Brook School here in Marshfield. People from throughout WATD land are invited to come.
Yeah, we're speaking with the State Representative Jim Cantwell, and he is doing our State House Report segment, where we reach out to various state senators and state representatives on a weekly basis and give them a chance to talk about things either that are hot and heavy up on Beacon Hill or maybe some things that they're working on within their district. Now, I know a couple of things just kind of creeping on your Facebook page, Representative. There was something that you actually joined in with a number of your colleagues this past week in regards to what's going on with our Veterans Administration's facilities. Give people the background as to what's going on. From what I understand is that because the backlog is so bad that we had a number of our veterans die while waiting for care and service. Give me your thoughts on something that you're supporting a number of other folks in asking the president to kind of do some kind of an investigation into what's going on with the Veterans Administration.
You're absolutely right, Kevin. And for people who would be watching the news from last Friday or Saturday, they would see the Congress taking action. What's an outrage is people who have been representing us, our servicemen and women who have been protecting our way of life, when they come back home, home. They deserve to have services, whether it's financial services, health care services, housing. In Massachusetts, we've been a leader in that provision of services, and we're very proud of it. But federally, the Veterans Administration, it's absolutely crystal clear that they have had a lax of oversight. And the reports that were coming out of Arizona were, just as you read, some 40 veterans who had passed away, mm-hmm. waiting for services, people who have these very long waiting lists. They call them super secret waiting lists of some kind of sort. So people weren't being able to get in for preventative care. Kevin, what's most troubling to me was the report that we had last Wednesday at the State House steps. We had this rally put together by Representative Hank Naughton, who did the major work. But the report was 22 veterans. Every single day in the United States, 22 veterans take their lives. And that's the outrage of it. People who wore the uniform to protect us.
That was a daily stat every
daily,
day?
Daily, every single day. Wow. And as his statement that you saw, that this is Hank Naughton who was saying, if we lost 22 veterans a day in Afghanistan, there'd be half a dozen congressional investigations, three division commanders would lose their jobs, the American people would demand immediate action. And that's what we were there for that day, is demanding that in a bipartisan fashion that we would have a top-down review by the president to make sure that we address this critical lack of services, particularly for those who may need some mental health services that just don't exist through the Veterans Administration.
Huh. What are you hoping? What is the hope that will be done? What are you hoping that will be uncovered? Is it a matter? Is you and your colleagues? Is it a matter of? Is it a matter of funding, or just a matter of how people are caring?
I think
the intake. Is it a matter of? That we have these veterans who they're not dying because of combat, they're dying because they're taking their own lives.
Yes, and I think there's always thinking globally, acting locally. So the global view was that us speaking out to have the investigation, because it will be clear that there will be an issue of resources, a prioritization within the Veterans Administration, making sure that people get to be seen, and if people are exhibiting mental health concerns, to make sure that there's follow-up and follow-through with them. By the way, acting locally, Kevin, you and I spoke off air that we have a South Shore Suicide Prevention Coalition that just has started in the last couple of months. And it's addressing a thing, Joe, that you and I have talked about before, of young people who have, very sadly, on the South Shore, we've had a series of sad incidents of people taking their lives. So we have a coalition that formed just 2 months ago. We had, through the House budget, we have $100,000 to help this coalition. And it's people, by the way, both superintendents from Marshfield and Scituate, both police chiefs, faith leaders. We had families who've lost loved ones who've come forward and saying they want to make sure to help. One, to help those who've been left behind for support services, but very significantly so we can help identify what kind of services that will help people. And the message is loud and clear that asking for help is okay, that prevention works, that we're going to do some trainings here in town so people know they have inherent value, people in the community love them, and that we want to make sure that they know to ask out, and we're here to help.
Okay. I do want to make sure I ask you. I know that the House, since last time you and I spoke, has already passed their budget. Now we're waiting for the Senate. Give me your take on the House budget. From one of the things that I recognized, one of the stories that I saw was is that the Speaker DeLeo kind of limited some of the debate when it came to local aid. And kind of limited the conversations. Is that an accurate assessment?
I think it's accurate to say that was a proposal that was done, but it turned out that we still did anyway. Yeah. We had a debate about local aid, whether there'd be an exemption for all municipal trucks and others for gasoline tax. We had a debate about whether or not we were going to add more money for roads and bridges. We had another debate about whether or not we were going to have funds for circuit breaker issues with special ed. Mm-hmm. We had another debate about more local aid. We still debated it anyway, so it was one of those issues of a proposal that was put in place saying that look, we already had done a couple months before, we did what's called a local aid resolution, where we gave that the highest amount of local aid that we've done in the history of Massachusetts, a vote that we were putting forward to help our cities and towns. We did it early, so as a former selectman, I can tell you want to know what that money will be early on.
You can see the money on your cherry sheets.
So to do it before you set your budget. So the speaker's point was, hey, we already debated that, we've done it already. We shouldn't therefore have another debate on it. But people still wanted to talk about it. People still wanted to debate it. So the budget, I will say, budget was done with no new taxes, no other new revenues of that nature. Still is going to have, we did another $25 million in unrestricted local aid, another $100 million for Chapter 7, money that was going to go just for schools and the like. You know, people overall, it's still a tight budget, but people are going to see some benefit. And Kevin, I not to cut you off, when I mentioned the suicide prevention, that $100,000, the next meeting is this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at Marshfield Town Hall for anyone that wants to be a part of that suicide prevention coalition. And we'll talk about the budget that just got passed and what we're doing for mental health services.
Let's kind of dovetail into something that you were a part of just last week at the Marshall Council on Aging. Talked to us about having a conversation regarding senior health care and as far as prescription drug safety.
Absolutely. So one of the other issues for a public health crisis of what's happening, not just in the South Shore, but throughout our entire state, is the issue of opiate abuse. It is an incredible health problem, and we're not going to arrest our way out of this problem. We really have to be identifying ways to help young people not be abusing any kind of prescription drugs. And there was this mentality, I think, for the last decade that if it was prescribed by a doctor in the medicine cabinet, must be okay. And we have so many young people who are absolute addicts. Now, one of the things we, at the senior health fair last week, put on by the Marshall Council on Aging, we did a forum where we discussed how seniors, they may go and have hip surgery or the like, and they can have multiple prescriptions that are done. But the presentation that we had done by DA Tim Cruz, by the police chief, by Phil Tavares, by our fire chief, Kevin Robinson, Matt McDonough was not able to be there, but a program that he had helped to start was making sure that we have a drug drop-off box right at Marshfield and Scituate Police Station. Yeah. By the way, Tim Cruz has now done it throughout the county. Yeah. So anyone listening, if they have prescription drugs in their cabinet, don't flush them down the toilet. It's very bad for the environment. But you can take them to your local police station. No questions asked, 24/7, they just get disposed of there. And that keeps it out of the hands of young kids and keeps it so people can have that terrible cycle of drug dependency. What we've done at the legislature is we've now made sure for prescription pads, we've done these so that they it's much harder now for them to be just photocopied, even with the new technology. We're trying to make sure that they're tamper-proof. We're requiring more medicines to come out. There's a thing, Zyhydro.
Zyhydro.
Unbelievable that our own federal officials would say.
Well, it's 5 to 10 times
more potent than
more
OxyContin.
Potent. That's correct.
It's an absolute poison that we don't want people to. We don't want that getting out. In my view, yeah. And we want to make sure that doctors are aware before you prescribe that. Tell people what the side effects can be about some of the misery that it can cause. So we now have by law we have a prescription monitoring program. So anytime a doctor will have legitimately someone, they're going to write a prescription for an opiate that has to get recorded. That way, if someone tries to shop around to go to other doctors, we can catch that. So we're doing all we can. The program last week, it was fantastic for when we're talking about the district attorney being there, the police chief, fire chief. It was very well received, and we look forward to doing much more of that in the future for Manners to try to help stem the tide for this opiate addiction.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head where we can't arrest our way out of the problem, and I think that's something that we need to focus on is not doing that, because that doesn't solve the actual addiction issue.
I agree.
Yeah, we've been speaking with the state representative, Jim Cantwell. Anything in closing? Folks want to get in touch with you or reach out to your office, Facebook, anything like that?
Absolutely. For anyone listening, I'm always available. My cell phone is 617-413-9804. My office, 617-722-2140. Jim@jimcantwell.com for an email. My final thing, I just wanted to congratulate again. The flood insurance part, our two towns should be so proud how we changed federal policy. Marshfield Coastal Coalition, Marshfield Selectmen, Scituate Coastal Coalition, Scituate Selectmen. We have changed things federally, and we're going to continue working on it. I look forward to coming back to speaking with both of you to talk about things in the near future, Kevin.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
We will step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk. We will speak with State Representative candidate Lou Valenzuela in just a few moments right here on Monday Night Talk. Do not go anywhere.